through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
And Pete Carroll expected to talk to media from Seahawks headquarters in a few minutes. We're keeping an eye on that podium for when he shows up. And as soon as he does, we will take you guys there live. For right now, let's talk about one of the biggest conversations this offseason outside of Jamal Adams' contract. And that is what the offense is going to look like. There's one word we keep hearing, Jake, and it is tempo. And I can't wait to see what that would look like in the offense. I think it's going to be important. I don't know if that solves all their problems. They know that. It's clear. But it is, I got to admit, I'm being a pessimist. I know I am. It's hard for me to buy into all the hype this early in the offseason when it comes to a new OC. It's like I got to see it to believe it kind of person when it comes to this.
I think that's perfectly fair, though. I mean, ultimately, with all the talk, that's all that matters, right? You can have all the talk and the good vibes all you want and feel very confident about how this thing's going to come together and how the relationships are going. But ultimately, it happens week one. Week one, how is this thing coming together? Week two, week three, week four, how is it progressing? What's the product look like? That's what matters. That's ultimately what helps this team win. That ultimately helps get them to their ultimate goal. And for people to feel good and feel happy and want to stay here in Seattle, want the future of this organization is riding on the success of this year and this offense in particular. So I don't blame you whatsoever or anybody out there that's being a little pessimistic about the changes and will they actually come together. But somebody that is seeing it up close, I feel very, very good about it. And it's not, I've been a part of people in the past and offenses and even within this own organization about promises of what this offense can look like, promises of what it can ultimately be, and them never get there. And the biggest reason why is because it's not who they are. It's not what they're comfortable with. Ultimately, when stuff goes down and it's crunch time, you fall back on what you're comfortable with and what you know. And you can.
That's why I haven't tried the lobster rolls. I told you guys that.
Exactly
before.
Right. Like, here's a perfect opportunity for you, Stacy. Venture out.
Nope.
Go crazy.
No.
And you just can't do it when push comes to shove. It's the same thing also with coaches. It's the same thing with an offensive coordinator. You can work on these things in practice, feel good about it, talk about it, all those things. But ultimately, if you're not willing to commit to it because it's not something you're comfortable with, you're not going to do it. And the difference is with Shane Waldron, this is what he's comfortable with. This is the background that he comes from. And so I think the changes are going to be exactly what the doctor ordered in terms of what we witnessed in the second half of the season last year. That doesn't mean that there isn't going to be bumps in the road with the first-time play caller, but I don't think they're going to be as dramatic as what some people fear.
Do you think that saying that, oh, they really struggled to adapt and struggled with an intermediate passing game simplifies some of the bigger problems they had? Like, I ask because Brock Heward on for Blue 42 this morning said that some of Russell Wilson's costliest interceptions came with some of those intermediate routes, kind of implying that, like, you know what, maybe part of the problem is that that's not the best part of his game.
Well, I do think that that is an area that can be improved in his game. But I also think that's an oversimplification from Brock Heward himself. I mean, we talk about, you know,
I'm going to tell him you said that.
That's fine.
I'm telling him right now.
Good. That's okay. I would love to have a long, healthy discussion about that. And when he alludes to some of that, the most catastrophic mistakes come in the short game. The first one that comes to mind is the Super Bowl. Well, I also have heard him defend that play, that call, and also defend the quarterback in that situation as well. So I think we can point both things out, but the one thing that remains is that this isn't something that this offense nor this quarterback has been asked to do at a high level. And some of that you could refer to and say, well, it's not what he does best. I would agree that the stuff that he is great at, deep down the field, creating plays out of nothing, and taking advantage of him in up-tempo situations. But I do believe that there is another level for him to get to, something that this group and this organization hasn't tapped into, is his ability to throw on time and in rhythm. And if you can open that aspect of it up for him and this offense, I really think that you see this group be not just a top 10 offense, a top 5 offense in this league. And it's something that's sustainable, not just for the first 8 weeks of the season, but throughout the entire year. Why? Because when defenses adjust to what you do, you can make adjustments along with that. And that is something that this group was not able to do effectively last year.
What are some of the things that you see from the top offenses? Because I can look at the top offenses last year and say, and I don't love the argument that Tampa Bay ended up winning with a good defense, because they also scored the second most points per game of any other team behind Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So they still had an elite offense, and that's a big part of what carried them as well, in addition to that defensive line. So what do you see then with all the top offenses in the league? Let's just say with points per game, because that's usually, it's simple, but usually indicative of just succeeding in general, right? A great point differential, points per game. So the Bills, Green Bay, and Buccaneers were in the top there. Tennessee was actually pretty high. Kansas City was not in the top five, but usually is. And I tend to think that's because they try to slow down drives to keep their defense off the field. They are capable of being a top team in points per game. So let's just say with those teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay, are there things you saw from their offenses specifically that you thought Seattle can do that and I don't know why they're not?
Diverse, tempo, and what I'd say is easy completions. So those three things are the three common threads that I see with all those offenses, those top-tier offenses, is they're diverse in the way of, look at Green Bay, look at Kansas City. Kansas City last year really tried to make a big emphasis in being able to be better at running the football when you get too high coverage. That was something that they were more prominent in. Green Bay's offense, the 49ers offense, the Rams offense at their peak, they're diverse. They can run the ball on you. They can deep play action pass. They can get into empty and kill you in the quick passing game. They can do a lot of different things and be diverse with their approach. And the last thing that I talked about, easy completions, is it could be attached in the version of a run-pass option. It could be in the screen game. It can be in a variety of different ways that your quarterback, your offense doesn't need to be on it every single play. You can give your quarterback breather plays where, hey, for five completions out of the day, 5 to 7 completions out of the day are going to be easy pitch and catch. You don't really need to think about it, and they can generate big plays for you. I think that that's the commonality that I see with the great play callers, great offenses in this league, is that, yes, they have dynamic quarterbacks that can do special things, but they also don't put it on the quarterback every single play to come up with the perfect throw, the perfect read every single time. They allow them and continue to allow them to stay in rhythm throughout the game.
Seahawks are closing out their final day of mandatory minicamp. Head coach Pete Carroll expected to be at the podium answering questions in just a few minutes. Do not go anywhere. We'll take you there next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
All right, Seahawks still on the practice field. Come on, guys. Start slacking off already.
Pete Carroll has a lot of conversations after practice.
He does.
I'll just tell you that.
Talker.
He is a talker. He's going around to everybody, and especially at this time, this is the last time he's going to see everybody for, what, 5 weeks?
Yeah.
So, I would imagine that he's taking his sweet time.
Now, we were talking about the offense, what makes a great offense, specifically in today's NFL. I've always felt like Kansas City and the Rams at one point, less so when Gurley fell off because he was their greatest weapon, but the Rams at one point and Kansas City since Mahomes took off, kind of pressed fast forward on what would have been maybe more natural evolution of the league, and instead you're seeing NFL offenses perform at a clip that is just unreal. And it feels like there is this pressure to be not just effective, not just get stars, but incredibly innovative. That's always been there a little, but man, Kansas City is making it hard on everyone else. We've seen it work with other teams, though. Tampa Bay scored more points per game last year than Kansas City. Green Bay scored more points per game. Buffalo scored more points per game. I believe quite a few other teams did, potentially Tennessee. So you don't have to do it that way to score often, to win, to get it done. And it seems like Seattle certainly has the right pieces. one of the conversations heading into the season will continue to be, can Shane Waldron give them, like you said, Jake, a more diverse passing attack, a passing attack that both takes advantage of what Russell Wilson is good at and then potentially challenges him to do some stuff he's not as familiar with, being the intermediate passing. I can't tell you, Jake, how many times I've seen questions from people saying, can Russell Wilson literally do that? Can a 5'10" Russell Wilson have a strong intermediate passing game without rolling out quite a bit?
Yes. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks to play the game. So everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, but this is something that when people ask that question, I then ask, okay, well, give me an example of them really, really, really trying to execute that multiple weeks in a row and him failing to do so. And the answer is they haven't. So it's just not been something that they've emphasized in their offensive scheme, and it's not because they steer away from it because of the quarterback. It's just not who Pete Carroll has wanted to be as an offense. And so I think that as you get to these, you know, you get to Shane Waldron's offense, and you mention Kansas City, you mention Green Bay, you mention Tampa Bay, you mention these other top offenses, the Buffalo Bills. Well, what were they able to do? They were able to truly maximize the strengths of the talents around them. And one of the other things that was a big frustration as to last year was not just Russell Wilson and maximizing his talent and ability, or lack thereof, but was DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, two guys that got off to an incredibly hot start with Russell Wilson, and then you were not able to see those two guys have as big of an impact on the game as they should have. And part of the reason for that being was that there was, in this offense's view, there was only one way to make that happen, and that was to get big, explosive, deep passing plays down the field. And I want to come back to Tyler Lockett in this cut that we played earlier today, cut number 9. Tyler Lockett talking about how they lost explosiveness and explains as to why he thinks it's going to get better.
You know, a lot of teams haven't really seen us go short. A lot of teams were trying to force us to go short, and we did, and we wanted explosives and stuff like that. But, I mean, truth be told, the explosive part of it is not going to change. It's just the fact that we're going to learn how to be a lot more balanced to where whatever teams decide to give us, that's what we're going to take. Teams decide to play us deep, then we're going to take everything short, and we're going to be able to run our offense all the way down the field and control the clock. If teams try to take the short stuff away, we're going to go deep.
So with that being said, when it comes to Tyler, it sounds really simple, and I don't want to oversimplify it, that all of a sudden now they're just going to be the short to intermediate passing attack, because that's not a true illustration of who they're going to be. But I will say that they'll be incredibly well-rounded, and they're not going to run into a situation where a defense is presenting something to them and they look at it as a group and say, well, in order to attack the weaknesses or the voids in this defense, we're going to have to go outside of our comfort zone. We're going to have to do something that we're not accustomed to doing and lose our identity. That won't happen this year, and that's something that I'm really excited about. And as you could hear Tyler Lockett and other cuts that he had said, he's very excited about the new development of this offense, how it can get this group to be better. And Tyler Lockett also mentioning the fact that he wants to be a receiver that not just catches balls down the field, but that he can be more of a weapon in terms of when he has the ball in his hands, utilizing his ability in terms of yards after catch. And that's something that when you look at the Rams offense over the last couple of years, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Gerald Everett, even, you name it, they really, really were able to accentuate those strengths. And I think DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, D. Eskridge and Gerald Everett have the ability to really do that. And so I think that's going to be a new exciting development for this group.
Now, we've been talking about the offense, and I could keep talking about it, but I want to be able to squeeze in some defensive talk in case Pete Carroll comes up here and interrupts us. So I want to be able to say that, I guess, have a conversation about whether or not they should continue to add, whether or not they can. I know we've had debates about where they should. If they make one move, whether it's Stephon Gilmore in your secondary, whether it's adding someone up front to bolster that defensive line, especially on the interior. I think both of us, though, in having those conversations, even though we want different places for them to add, don't feel especially confident in the defense. And you saw such a great second half from them. That second half ended up just averaging the year to, I think, still like the 29th overall defense and passing yards allowed. I mean, they didn't even finish as like a top half passing defense. And that was with a great second half.
Right. And that's crazy to think about, right? I mean, they were literally, I think, number one, number two overall in a lot of statistical categories defensively to finish the second half of the season. Yet they don't even finish in middle of the pack overall in their statistics. That's how bad they were to start the year. And something that we haven't talked about is, okay, well, there's going to be a lot in terms of what Ken Norton Jr. and Pete Carroll are able to put together this year with this group. I don't believe you're going to have as many excuses readily available for you to fall back on to explain what is going on in the first half of the season like you did last year. And this is put up or shut up time for this defense and for them to be able to execute at a high level as well and to be able to play complementary football. I do not believe that this defense will be a top 10 level defense, but if they can be in the top 15, that to me is going to be more than enough. Can they generate pressure on the quarterback? They invested the money, or at least invested in the bodies to make that happen with Carlos Dunlap, Kerry Hyder Jr., Benson Mayoa, and obviously they have Daryl Taylor. Don't forget about Alden Smith. We don't know what that development is going to be, but they invested in that core group of guys to develop that pass rush and make it more effective, make it deeper. And you have Bobby Wagner. You have first-round pick in Jordan Brooks. You have a guy in Jamal Adams that you're going to give a big contract extension to. You have a Pro Bowler coming off his best season in Quandre Diggs of last year. You have enough of the pieces where you shouldn't be a bottom half of the league type of defense. They really truly have to step up. And as we had talked about Tampa Bay, people want to point to the defense and how well they played. Absolutely, complemented by a great offense. Also complemented by a great defense.
Like, I don't want to call. I was listening to this debate this morning with Danny and Salk, and it was a great one. I did love the debate. I wish I could have ran into the studio and started arguing, though, because it turned into a debate about, like, well, Tampa had the defense, and the defense won you a championship. Yes, but Tampa Bay's offense was, like, the number two scoring unit in the league. So this wasn't a 2013 Seahawks offense, which was still solid, a great run game. And it also wasn't an offense where the defense was the strength and there was nothing else. This was a great offense that had a great defense, particularly against the run and particularly up front. So it's that idea of, oh, a defense wins you a championship. I still buy into that. A defense can certainly cost you one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can certainly cost you one. And we learned that watching New England come back against Atlanta. But you still need a great offense unless you've got like an elite caliber defense. I don't love the argument that, well, let's say Pete Carroll's right to keep looking to rebuild a 2013 version of the defense because look at what Tampa did last year. Those two things are unrelated to me.
I agree with you. It is unrelated, but the fact remains that it was complementary, right? It was complementary. As you look at what they were able to accomplish with Tampa Bay, and when it came to that Super Bowl, they needed to have that great complement in order to pull it off, to beat the Kansas City Chiefs and to make it as big of a blowout as it was. And that, to me, is the ideal if you're looking at the Seahawks, to be able to have a group that is complementary of one another.
All right, and we are still waiting for Pete Carroll. Pete, get off the field! Get off the field, Pete! Hopefully he joins us.
Practice has wrapped.
Practice is wrapped. Keeping an eye on that podium. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
This segment brought to you by All Red Heating Cooling Electric. We're taking you live now to Pete Carroll.
Pete, you talked about how great these guys came into camp as far as conditioning. Were you able to accomplish what you set out in these last 3 days, or maybe even a little bit more because of the way they came in?
No, really, Jen, we did. We were able to go farther than we thought we would, and we did more, and they handled it really well, the workload. We found a couple good rhythms to this time of the year with our walkthroughs and things that we did, and it just was a really successful couple weeks here, so we're really pleased about it.
Joe Fan.
Pete, yesterday Tyler noted the freedom that Shane Waldron has had to
kind of implement what he thinks, and everyone's been really embracing what he has to share and where he wants to go with the offense. Have you felt that? Do you feel like maybe he's had more latitude and freedom than other offensive coordinators? And maybe what are your impressions of how he's taken the reins of all this?
I have not gotten in his way because he has such command of what he's doing. He knows how it fits together, and he's been able to orchestrate the teaching process in a way that's allowed us to do quite a few things for this, you know, for this off season. And I know you can hear from the players, they're impressed with him. He's just left them with a really good impression of his command, his verbiage, the style of teaching has been accessed. These guys are really moving far, so they're impressed. I'm impressed, and like I said to Jen, we're ahead of where we thought we'd be right now. So it's really a tribute to he's done a nice job with us.
You didn't have Alden Smith here this week. Do you expect him back for camp?
He's in town, and he's been working out. Didn't feel like he was ready for this yet, but we'll see see how he handles himself through the summertime, the condition he gets into. But we're looking forward to him making it and getting out here. So I just felt it was best for him at this point to just work out on his own. And so he's been in the facility and out, but he's sent a good impression that he's made on us right now. He's working hard at it.
Corbin?
Hey, Pete, I know the defensive backs can't play the football during these sessions, but Penny Hart made a couple of ridiculous catches during today's practice. It seems like he has a really good rapport with Russ.
Yeah.
Where do you see him at with his development in terms of compared to where he was at when you guys signed him? He was on the practice squad initially, and where do you see him fitting in the competition behind DK and Tyler?
Well, you know, Penny made the team last year because you can count on him. You can count on him in a lot of ways, in running his routes right, knowing the offense, multiple positions, contributing on special teams, his toughness. The attitude that he is obvious. He came out here this camp, these days we've had here, and probably had the best shot of making things happen. He had catches today, but he's had catches in other days too. He's just had a spectacular couple weeks. So where is he in the competition? He's right in it. He made the club last year. We really can count on him. He can do a lot of things. He was really battling, and I was really fired up for him. We all were. He kind of lit it up out here.
Masvita?
Hey, Pete, I'm wondering if you could talk about the defensive backfield, especially Trey Flowers, and what have you seen from him this
He's ready to go. He's ready to go. The cornerback position is going to be really competitive, and we've got good structure of guys. We got different style guys that can play. We got some long guys, some big guys. We got some quickness. We got a whole mixture of guys that can play. The competition will be wide open. It's going to take us all camp to figure it out. Trey's ready. He's ready to go. He knows what's at stake. He knows that the guys are coming after his job, and he's going for it to protect it and own it, nothing but positive stuff. I kind of feel like, I don't know if you can tell, it's kind of like the Joe Biden thing going on here, I can't see you guys at all. I just feel like I'm squinting into nothing here. So if I'm not looking at you, sorry, I can't see anything.
Now, you made a landmark decision.
Was that a President Biden reference right there? I think it was.
Now, he signed the Juneteenth bill today.
Juneteenth, yeah.
Joe Biden. Yeah. So.
Beautiful move.
Thanks.
Michael Sean.
Hey, Pete, a couple non-participant questions. What's going on with John Arsua, Marquise Blair, and Pierre Oliver? I don't want to mess up his last name, the guard, though.
Yeah, okay. Johnny just tweaked his knee a little bit the other day. Nothing's wrong with it. It just kind of came down wrong, so we just protected him. Pierre had to have surgery. He came in with with athletic hernia situation, and so we decided to do it now than later. He was making it through camp and fighting it out. He made a really good impression in his start here with us. So we felt like we had a pretty good feel for him, and so we went ahead and got the surgery done. And the other one was
Marquise Blair.
Yeah, Marquise, we're just protecting him going through it. He's worked a lot, and so he's got a lot of stuff done here. He's right back on track. He's ahead of schedule in terms of learning his football. He's much further along than he was a year ago at this time, and we're moving him around. He's got a number of different things that he's doing that we want to give him a chance to show it. And we love the playmaking that he has in him. So we just took care of him is all, and didn't want to overload him this early.
One more thing. How does a guy with Kuna's height and length rush the passer as well as he does?
You know, there's a couple things about Puna that are unique. One, he's a terrific athlete just in general. He's got timing and feel. He's got hand-eye coordination. He's got a great shot, you know, in hoops. He's just got a lot of natural athleticism about him in this body that just doesn't look like he should. But he also has really long arms, and the length that he has allows him to leverage and get underneath guys. Natural quickness is a special part of a natural athlete. Sometimes he's got that. So you know, where he didn't look the part maybe to other teams, and he's available to us in free agency. The playmaking, he was player of the year in his conference, I think, and you can see why. He's just a really good ball player, and he's really smart as well. He can play all the spots, and he can help guys out and communicate really well. So he's a terrific guy. We were really happy to get him hooked up this offseason.
Thank you.
Art?
Pete, without giving away the playbook, is there some aspect of Shane Waldron's offensive thinking that you would consider original, at least to you, something you hadn't seen?
Yeah, he has I haven't really explained it very well, obviously, so I'll try again. His command of the entire notebook and his sense for creating the system so it's really accessible to the players and where we can do a ton of stuff, but yet they're understanding the principles, and they're understanding the continuity of how things fit together in marriage. That's really talking about the run game, pass game, the perimeter game, the tempo stuff that we do. He just knows it really well, and he knows it really well, and he's packaged the teaching part of it, and I'm say that because there's a lot of code things that they have to know, and there's a lot of systems that are in within the format that's in advance of where we've been in years past, and the reason we're able to do it is because he knows it so well, he can teach it really well, and the guys have some of the guys say this seems easier than it was in the past, and we're doing more so. You know, let me say this too, though. It's really important. Coach Walsh said a long time ago, it's not, you know, how many things that you can do, it's how many things you can do well. And so we have to be careful, we have to be careful of trying to do too much because there's a, you know, he's got a big notebook, and I love it. You know, I love the style of it, the complement of the run and the pass game off it, the actions, and also the rhythm of it that I think Russ has just totally embraced it too. So, yeah. I don't think it's what will look different to you. Maybe just the tempo in general, just our tempo overall.
Greg,
Pete, when you say tempo, you Russell Wilson said it, Tyler Lockett said it, DK Metcalf said it. When you say yeah. Tempo, fans automatically think you're going no huddle all over the yard.
It doesn't mean that. Yeah,
right. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, it's everything from huddle to snap point from. Just using all of the elements of the game that are available. Some of it is when you get on the football, but a lot of it is going quickly and maintaining, trying to maintain the edge on the defense so they can't command the time at the line of scrimmage where they can make all of the adjustments and the changes. We do move a lot with our offense, and it, you know, we're challenging to the defense in that regard. If you give them time to make their checks, you know, these guys are well schooled around the league, and they can make the adjustments and get everybody in the best place and feel real clear-headed about that next snap. We're trying to take that edge off that as best we can in all of the ways that are available.
And how much progress did you make on your vaccination goal, and how likely is 100% before July 27th?
Let me hold out for that one, that, you know, there's a chance, you know, so you're saying there's a chance. We got a shot at it because we're far enough along. We have a little vaccination event going on right now, and after this practice, we'll see how those numbers show. But we're not in bad shape. We're within striking distance of making it. I think the bulk of the team will be done, whatever that word means. I don't know. But the bulk of the team's going to be done, meaning that we're going to be hovering around 70% here soon, and maybe by the end of the week, and we'll see where that takes us from there. But we have a lot of guys that have, you know, been asking questions. We have a lot of our leaders that are vaccinated, and they've spoken to guys and all of that, and we've had a lot of really good input from people around the science community that have talked to our guys and helped them understand what's at stake and all of that. So we'll see. But everybody's entitled to their own deal here, and there are some consequences for not being vaccinated. You know, as we've talked about, you know, there's restrictions, and so our guys should be well aware of that as well. And so they'll make the choice as they make it.
Has there, Pete, been any consternation, I guess, within the team among the players about some of those restrictions and how it threatens to divide the team between have and have nots on vaccination?
You know, I haven't seen any of that. I haven't seen any of that. And, you know, they're not seeing that from me. I'm not putting the edge on it. I'm not trying to stoke that, you know, at all. And our coaches aren't. You know, we've been really, really clear-headed and open-minded, very mature about it, and trying to, you know, help our guys make good decisions and choices and all. And I think our players are following along. We don't have any issues about that at all.
Bob Condotta, Seattle Times.
Let me say one more thing. Maybe I haven't said this yet, but in the days, the weeks we've been here, there hasn't been one guy that didn't test negative. So that's a really good sign for us. Our guys are really conscientious about it. You have to be to keep doing that, because it's still out there for people that are unvaccinated, and there's, you know, there's still numbers in our state, and you know, every day, and so they're on it. They're on the topic, and that's one of the issues, maybe, you know, Greg, is that our guys know that if they stay with what we do and how we do it, they can stay clean, and that's so that's I know that that's in the back of their minds, because it kind of works against us a bit, because they know this is a safe place here. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead,
Bobby C.
Yeah, how did Daryl Taylor make it through, obviously, you know, rookie mini camp? He sort of got moved over to the outside linebacker. How did you see him kind of progress during this time? And where also do Cody Barton and Ben Burkervin fit into the linebacker thing right now?
Yeah, first off, Daryl's a real highlight to this time. You know, he worked out with the rookies the whole time, and which was great for him. He is probably, of the guys coming back, is the best prepared guy on the football team right now, because of all of the time he spent. He invested in it. He came with a great attitude, a work ethic, and all of that. He's an exciting football player. His edge rush ability, his athleticism, he's got a really good burst off the football, the ability to play in space as well as rush the passer. It's, you know, you can maybe see why we were frustrated last year that we didn't have him, but now we've really seen him. We hadn't really seen him with, you know, much to go on, really, he had one of the brightest camps. I said Penny did on that side of the ball. Probably on this side of the ball would be Daryl. As far as Cody looks great. He's come back ready to go. He's battling for playing time. He's battling for starting time, and he's going to get a ton of work. This will be the Cody Barton preseason, opportunity. He's going to get a great shot at it. I've talked to him about it. We love the player, you know, and so he deserves it. Burr has done a really good job as well. Those two guys have just kind of tag-teamed their way along, joining up with this club and contributing and all that. And both he and Cody are going to play and be part of it, and we'll have no hesitation with those guys in the game. They know what's going on. They play their tail off, and they're really good football players. So the position group is really strengthened, and because of, you know, their emergence and all. So we're excited to have them.
Okay, two more. John Boyle.
Gotta go.
Yeah, Pete, with the young guys being here the whole time and the veterans not coming until later, what was the benefit for rookies and those young guys that they maybe got there?
Incredible benefit, really, John. An incredible benefit, because last year at this time, they had done nothing. You know, they hadn't done anything. They hadn't been here for anything. And so we showed up at camp, and we, you know, as much as it's one of the things I wish I would have handled it better, although I don't have the answer for it, you get to camp, you got to get your team ready that you think is going to play. And those guys just did not get the quality opportunity to rep and grow and all of that. So we're at the other end of the spectrum. We've never had this much focus time on our young guys. And so this is the best group we've ever had as far as being ready for a football season. I just visited with them before they walked out the door, that if we were going to camp right now, this would be just an enormous opportunity for them to take advantage of. So they've been smart, they've been strong, they've been consistent, they've been active, they've been juiced up, and they know a lot of football right now. So I don't know what that's going to mean as we put the team together in preseason and all that. But when those guys go in the game, man, we aren't going to hesitate. We're not going to hesitate to worry about them at all. They're going to be ready to go. if you know, let me send this message out. If they do a good job in the next 6 weeks of staying in shape and don't screw it up, you know. So, you know, we kind of hammered them a little bit and want them to take care of business and come back to camp ready to go.
Brady?
Hey, Pete, with the tempo, is what kind of variety does that give you? And also, is the plan to use the take advantage of, you know, the communication between coordinator and quarterback all the way up to the whatever it is, the 15-second cutoff or whatever the cutoff point is?
Yeah, the conversation between Shane and Russ will just continue to improve. But there's already a chemistry brewing here. They're already working together really well. It's kind of like, you know, Shane had a way to kind of have Russ kind of grow up in the system and started a while back, and it's just come together really well. I'm not sure if you're asking, you know, are we going to throw the ball more? Are we going to run the ball more? Every time I mention the running game, everybody goes crazy. But we're going to be a balanced football team again, and we're going to do the things we need to do to play really good ball. And like always, that means being able to keep the ball away from the other guys and hang on to it and hold it well and not let them have it so that we can go score. And so whatever it takes to get that done. And but we've got a tremendous quarterback with a great system, and he's got guys around him. I'm so excited about the tight end position to bolster the throwing and catching threats. You know, with Chris and Rashad back there running the football, and Alex looks ready to go too. And we got a couple other young guys, you know, and DJ and Homer. You know, it's an exciting offense for us. And so we've always been explosive when we're at our best. And when we're at our best, we've been able to run the football and be really explosive, and that's hard to stop, you know. And so that the probably, and I'll give you some to go away on this, probably the area of the game that will make the most difference will be our third down game. You know, if we can be really good on third downs and stay on the field, you know, and be around 50%, we're going to be really hard to deal with. And so that'll be a huge focus throughout camp. And what I like about it is we've got guys to go to, you know, and we've got real good targets to work in there. So, but anyway, so that I don't know if that answers your question, but that's how I'm going at it. And going to use all that we know. Everything we've ever done comes into play here as we put this thing together. And our coaches and the players are going to have to, you know, embrace it and make it come to life on the football field. Can't wait to see it happen. Can't wait to see those 12s. Can't wait to see the 12s. I know they're coming. I know somebody's going to be in those stands. Can't wait to get you out there.
One question on the vaccination. The numbers that you're talking about, the percentages and your goals, is that of just players on the 90-man roster who are vaccinated, or is that players and coaches?
No. We're just on players. Yeah, the coaches are all vaccinated, and we're all done with that. Okay. All right. See you guys.
All right, that will do it for us today as well. That was Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll. Plenty to take away from that, including an update on Aldon Smith. Sounds like they expect him to start training camp with them. So yes. Stick around. Wyman and Bob obviously going over a lot of that. Jake and I have been taking notes. We have plenty to take away from Pete Carroll. It's going to be a good Friday show. Do not go anywhere. This is 710 ESPN Seattle.